Welcome to the Music, Money, and Life Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by howtolicenseyourmusic.com. If you want to learn how to make money writing music for TV, films, and ads, visit howtolicenseyourmusic.com today for a free video series all about how to write music specifically for use in TV shows, films, and commercials. Music, Money, and Life is the podcast that brings together the best minds in music licensing, music publishing, music marketing, and more together in one place. Learn how to license your music and market your music. Learn the latest cutting-edge techniques for getting your music heard and making money from your music. Learn directly from the musicians and industry insiders on the front lines of the music business. Please don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review in iTunes. Every positive review helps us rise up the ranks in iTunes, gain more subscribers, and attract more and more great guests. And now, without further ado, here's today's podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Music, Money, and Life Podcast. Today, I'm really excited to bring back to the podcast, this is his second appearance on Music, Money, and Life, Eddie Gray. Eddie, how are you?
Hey, guys. What's going on? Back on. I'm excited to be back on.
Yeah, man. Thanks for coming back on the podcast. It was great to finally meet you. I got a chance to meet Eddie in person and see him in action in LA a few weeks ago. And I got to say, like, I was really impressed with your work ethic. I think the day that Gary and I went over to your apartment, you said you had been up since like 4 a.m. I can see that you're putting a lot into this. Is like, what is a typical day for you? Like, Eddie, are you always up that early?
It depends on how late I was up the night before. And in some cases, I don't sleep in order to fulfill deadlines. You know, it really depends on the project. You know, I'm currently working on a few things. Like this morning, I was up till about 1 and then up around 6. I'm working on an expansion pack with some of my writers for Akai, for the MPC. So, you know, this takes, you know, a serious amount of dedication. Also, I'm learning as I go along, and I have a high standard. So, you know, these specific times require less sleep. But also on the flip side, you know, I eat better, I drink more water, you know, I try and, you know, breathe and meditate a little bit more. So I try and counteract, you know, my vices, which is, you know, work, with some good stuff too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's necessary. That's really important. So Eddie, let's do this. Before we kind of jump into the conversation, I want to sort of bring people up to speed about what you've been up to, because you've done a lot in this industry, and I oftentimes use you, like, you're a really good example of someone who's gone through the courses that I've created and the courses that I've created with Gary Gray. I know you've worked with Gary a lot as well, but you're a great example of someone who's taken this information that we've compiled and put together and really parlayed this into a thriving career writing music for television. So can you, before we jump into the conversation, like, just kind of catch everybody up on the types of projects you work on? I know Born This Way on A&E is one of the shows. What else have you been working on, and what else are you working on currently?
Well, you know, just to make a slight correction, I've taken all of your courses, and yeah, I've studied with Gary for a long time. So nice. Just throwing that out there, because it really, you know, you gave me an education. I never went to college. You know, I always talk about the fact that I'm not some musical genius from Juilliard, or what have you. And a lot of it had to do with, you know, the education that I was given by people like yourself, Beth over at Imaginary Friends, and several other tutors and mentors who were very insightful. So especially Gary. Nice. Moving on, you know, I just finished my second show as head composer. It's called The Healer. It's premiering on Monday, November 6th, so this Monday on TLC. Like I said, I'm finishing up this expansion pack. I just started working with the supervisor from Vice, so I'll be providing some music over to that. It's just been, you know, a barrage of different things. I just hooked up with an advertising company, so, you know, I have to start providing content, custom and, you know, music library music over to them. They're, you know, they represent like the Dodgers and various like sports figures. So I'm, you know, super excited to be going into the world of sports. I'm currently producing, my first artist, I've never really done this, and this is a time of growth for me, you know. This is a time of experimenting and applying all of the lessons that I've learned in the past 4 years. As you know, I've been doing this for 4 years, and I think I met you and bought your courses about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, it's been exciting. You know, I'm humbled. I feel like I just, you know, received a bona fide college education the last 4 years, and I'm reaping the benefits, and I haven't stopped working. That's the main thing, is I'm not somehow fooled into thinking that, you know, I've climbed to the top of this mountain and somebody else can't take my spot. You know, I'm very aware that this has to continue, this level of work ethic and determination. And of course I have my days off, don't get me wrong, but I just mean that you got to get back on the saddle and your focus has to refine. You know, I was up last night working on these loops. You know, I've never really created loops in this manner. I mean, you know, there's an easy way to do something, and then there's also the right way and the sophisticated way. And so I was up last night, and you know, every inch of my body just wanted to like put on something on Netflix while I was you know, creating my loops, because I wanted a distraction, because it was hard, you know. And this is like the third day in a row that I haven't slept, you know, for a full, you know, 7-8 hours. And so you know, what I'm trying to say is that sometimes, you know, it's hard, you know, and you have to just keep moving and keep advancing. And especially, you know, as you progress in your career, the demands, you know, increase, the attention to detail, you know, increases as well. And you have to perform day in and day out. And I just want to, you know, tell all the listeners that, you know, you're going to be tested. I can't tell you how many years I spent doing metadata for various companies. You know, I just helped. I'll get into that point later. But yeah, just keep focusing and refining your level of concentration, and that will get you across the finish line eventually.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's good stuff, Eddie. I mean, it sounds to me like what you're saying. I mean, it sounds like a quality problem, in the sense that it sounds like you have such great momentum with everything that you're working on that you have a lot of work. Like, you have a lot of projects that you're working on, which I'm sure is an enviable position for a lot of composers and musicians listening to this. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of people listening to this that would love to be where you are. But I always use you. I don't know if you remember this, but in the podcast we did last year, you talked about like what the process was like when you started, like before you had all these projects that you were working on. Can you kind of take us back to that period of time? Because I feel like that's really interesting too, because it's almost like there's two different challenges. Like, there's the challenge of just getting started in this industry, and then there's the challenge of like keeping the momentum going once certain doors have opened. But I feel like maybe more people are sort of at the beginning, like they're just trying to break through. Can you kind of talk a little bit, without rehashing everything we talked about, can you talk a little bit about how you were able to get started initially?
I will. You know, one thing I want to point out to all the up and comers is that, you know, this is not a sexy job. This is not like, you know, a rock star position. Nobody knows you. You know, occasionally you have, you know, some perks, but don't get confused with, you know, this gig. It is work. Like, if you're interested in putting in serious hours and serious commitment, then, you know, I'll open the door for you. But this is not for the feeble. This is not for somebody that wants to just put in a few hours a week. This is definitely a full time and then some kind of gig. Entrepreneurs, you know, you have to have that mindset and that heart. But just to kind of cover the roadmap a little bit, you know, since I've been through it, I do feel that there are levels to this game. And the first level is simply, you know, getting your foot or at least your toe in the door, you know, like getting a few placements, acquiring a couple of publishers, you know, maybe racking in a couple of big sinks. You know, you have to identify yourself as a player in the game. If you don't have any, you know, notches in your belt, or you know, you need some creds. And that way you can kind of start to build your portfolio. And once you have a portfolio, you can start, you know, acquiring bigger clients and reaching out to people like CBS and reaching out to your bigger names out there, because no one's going to listen to you if you don't have any credibility. And that really is the roadmap. You know, when I first started, my goal was to saturate the business. Okay. And I didn't want to become, you know, for lack of a better phrase, like, you know, a slut of the business. I just wanted to basically have a relationship with different people. So to this day, certain publishers, certain clients know me as the guy that does X. Like I have clients who think I just write Latin music, or I have clients who think I just write, you know, quirky music or romantic comedy music. And that's fine with me. I just wanted to build relationships. There are people who will, you know, advise you not to do this. But for me, I needed something to bite, and I wanted a way in. And so, you know, by any means necessary, I think everybody's different in their approach, but this really worked out for me. I saturated the business. I pretty much, you know, got in contact with everyone that's out there. And I, you know, at one point, I think I must've had 100 different relationships with, like, you know, licensing companies, music houses, and then I was doing various gigs and calls for various people, you know. And then once you start, you know, raising up your music production, which that's the other part of it, right? I mean, it's not just the music business, it's also the product that you're providing. And if these two worlds don't find themselves and grow, you know, continuously together, then it's going to fall apart. Because if you acquire bigger clients, you know, such as A&E or what have you, and the music is not up to par, then you're going to fall. But if your music's really good and you have no contacts, well, then what's the use of that anyway, right?
Interesting. So would you say in the beginning, did most of your, like, the initial placements, were they through music libraries? What were, like, the first?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I you know, like I said, I saturated the market, and I focused my energy on what was working. So if one of the companies was giving me a lot of work and I was getting a lot of placements, then I would stick, you know, to my guns and work with them. If I saw a small yield for, you know, a lot of energy and a lot of effort, then I would just, you know, I would take off. The one kind of clause that, you know, everybody should know is that it takes anywhere between 9, 12, 16 months to really know if something is working. So it's a long haul. It's a marathon. Yeah. So when you start, you know, pitching your music, you know, you're going to have to think about this in terms of the next year, not the next 3 months, because this is not at all about instant gratification.
Right.
I mean, far from it, right? I mean, you have to wait such a long time. I mean, I've waited as much as 2 years to get placements on Dance Moms and various shows that I was I was servicing for quite some time. But yeah, I think, you know, just to be clear, you've got your lower level libraries who are just going to give you back end royalties and maybe every once in a while kind of throw you a bone. Sometimes you get some nice perks. For example, you know, if you become one of their key guys, they'll ask you to maybe write a main title. And you know, once you get a main title, that automatically gives you more credibility and it builds your resume. So nice. That was my philosophy, was just building my resume and becoming indispensable and forming an identity in the context of music licensing and music in general. And then you got your kind of mid-level syncs where various publishers are, you know, paying you $400, you know, $500, $300 to write a song. Okay. And then sometimes you have publishers, they might pay you a little less, but you're writing an album. So 10 yeah. songs or, you know, $200 or what have you. So all of a sudden you've graduated from lower level income, you know, free, back end royalty kind of, you know, work to, you know, being a little bit more, in demand. Because your music is good and also your conduct is good, you're professional, you meet your deadlines. And then finally, as you climb, you know, the ladder, you get into the higher echelon, which is high level syncs, you know, $1,000, $2,000, big contracts, you know, in the five figures, And then I'm, you know, I'm sure as you get up along there, it gets a lot higher. But so I just wanted to make that clear, because a lot of people, they're not sure how they're going to get paid. And there is a system, and there is a, you know, I should really write a book about this at some point. But, you know, if there's any ghostwriters out there, you know, reach out to me. But basically, there are tiers to it, and you have to build your resume. And alongside that, you have to build the quality of your music production. And when those two things match, then and only then will you be a success.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I should point out, by the way, I think I forgot to mention this at the beginning of the podcast, but Eddie and I are actually working on a course together all about how to do what Eddie does, which is writes music specifically. Like, for the most part, you write music for television, right? For different shows. I know you've done theme songs, but it's mainly TV composition.
Yeah, that's my bread and butter. I've been able to parlay that because of my name and my brand, and reputation into other things. For example, this Sunday I'm filming a music video, and yeah. I was able to do that because of my name. And you know, it's a nice payday, and it's also something new and something challenging, and you know, I'm also building my network in the process. But yeah, and also just also throwing this in the mix, I also wrote the with a collaborator, Dario Forzato, I wrote the main title for my show, and that's on episodes 2 through 6. So check that out, because that was a major accomplishment.
And for what's the name of the show? It's my show.
No, it's called The Healer.
The Healer.
Yeah, for my show on that's premiering this Monday.
On TLC, right?
That's it.
Yeah, yeah. No, cool. Well, I mean, I think you brought up something really interesting, Eddie, which is, like you said, this is not necessarily a glamorous business, and there's a lot of work that goes into this, and you've obviously worked really hard over the last 4 years. But what I really admire and respect about you is that you've created a very viable career for yourself. I mean, we talked a couple weeks ago. I don't know if I'm at liberty to say how much money you're making, or if you want me to say, I'll leave that up to you. But you know, you told me more or less how you're doing it, and you're doing really, really well. And the way, I mean, sort of the way I look at it is, yeah, maybe this isn't as glamorous as being a traveling, touring rock star or something like that, but you're making music for a living. So I think, you know, that's no small task. And to make a good living like you're making it, Eddie, is an even harder task. So you know, hats off to you for getting to where you've arrived at, you know, over the last 4 years.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, I often feel that a lot of people are confused about their journey with music, and they get kind of brainwashed into thinking that they want to be pop stars, rock stars, and power to you if you want to, and I encourage you to. But when I first, you know, harnessed my relationship with music, it was because I loved it. It had nothing to do with fame or anything like that. I would sit at a synthesizer, you know, at my uncle's house or at my house, and I would just aimlessly play, and something would happen to my being and my cells. And so I encourage all the people out there to remember why you fell in love with music in the first place, before you saw, you know, people on TV, or before you saw, I guess YouTube would be the thing now, right? And as far as the income goes, it's, you know, very easily six-figure income, you know, and when I first started, obviously, it was less than that, and it can go up dramatically. I know some people out there making $200,000, $300,000 just on music licensing alone, but also that's all they do. I mean, they put in a lot of time, and this is after years and years. Specifically, somebody I know who is a no-namer in the business, but he essentially writes for a lot of music libraries, and he's developed his own brand, and he's dependable. He made, I think, $250,000 last year.
Yeah. Wow.
So yeah, my hat, you know, I give him a lot of credit, because he's a true team player. He doesn't take, he doesn't need the, you know, the shine. Like, he's okay with just kind of riding the music. And so yeah, a lot of credit to those people. But build your brand, you know, build yourself, build your identity, let people know who you are. And, oh, and, you know, I do want to point out one thing. I just want to point out that, you know, I've noticed a lot of sharks and pariahs in the business, and people that are willing to kind of stab you in the back or use you. And it's one thing to use somebody, you know, in a general manner, like if you hire somebody, but it's quite another to abuse people. And do not do that. Do not be that person, because ultimately, it will fail. You know, you might get across the first gate, but at some point it's short lived. You have to be genuinely interested in people. You have to genuinely care about people and the product that you're servicing. So just wanted to throw it out there, because I really feel that one of the reasons I've been able to move along here is because it's a people business, number one. Yeah. It has nothing to do with the music. It's about people liking you and liking your presence, and then after that, liking your product and what you're putting out there.
Yeah, that's good advice. So do you work primarily with people in person, or is a lot of this via email? Like, how are you kind of interacting with people on a regular basis?
A lot of it is, you know, Skype, phone calls, in person. Everybody's moving like a million miles an hour, so it seems like it's mostly phone calls and emails. But, you know, I try and meet with supervisors like once a week or twice a week. I take them out to lunch. You know, I'm very tactful about making sure I develop the relationship. You know, I'm married, so I'm no longer, you know, wooing any girls or anything like that. But I put my energy into taking care of the people in my life that take care of me. And it's, you know, it could be a small thing. You drop a gift off, you know, like on Christmas. You know, I make sure I give the supervisors and the publishers that, you know, have helped me out, you know, a little something, even if it's an Amazon card for $20 or what have you.
Yeah.
You know, it's just it's about caring, and it's a gesture. So yeah, it's all the small things, as they say.
Do you have any idea, Eddie, how many people, like, now that you've been working in this industry for 4 years, you've reached this place where you're making a pretty comfortable income from doing this? Do you have any idea, like, nationwide? Let's talk about just the U.S. Alone. Do you have any idea how many people make a living from licensing? Do you have like a...
You know what? I don't. I can easily say that the people that I work with, only a handful do.
Yeah.
You know, I have a couple friends, a couple writers that work, you know, for my company, that they play gigs, they work in licensing, and they have students, and that's what they do for a living.
Yeah.
You know, so everybody's a little bit different. It also depends on how long you've been doing it, because the business does, and royalties do, kind of aggregate and mount up, you know. So if you've been writing tracks for certain libraries that you know are credible and are going to pitch your music and are going to take care of you for 8 years, well, you know that your royalty checks are going to reflect that.
Yeah.
Consistently.
Yeah.
Consistently.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I guess, like, the reason I asked the question is I get the sense that with licensing, there's quite a few artists that have had a few placements here and there.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's a much, much smaller group of writers that are able to do this full time and make a living from it. So I'm just wondering, do you have sort of any idea what holds? Because I feel like there's a lot of writers that say they would like to make a living from licensing. I mean, a lot of my clients, that's probably the typical person that comes to me, Eddie, is someone that's maybe a little bit older. Maybe they've toured in the past, but they don't really want to do that anymore. They have a family. Maybe they're married like you are. So they like this idea of being able to crank out music in their home studio and make a living licensing it. But very few of them do. What do you think separates the people that don't from those who do?
Honestly, and I wish this wasn't the answer, but you know, it really comes down to, you know, on Wednesday night when you should be writing, you know, you go hang out with, you know, these friends, and then on Thursday night, instead of writing, you're watching football, and then on Friday night, oh, it's Friday, so I got to take a break, yeah. You know, and then it starts to kind of add up. I'll tell you, I know a good amount of people that are certainly doing well, writing albums for all sorts of publishers and non-exclusive libraries, exclusive libraries, and they're in a good place, but they clock in and they clock out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Every day. And they may take a day off, but, you know, once the day off, is over, right back to it. I mean, without a hiccup, you know?
Yeah. So just work ethic.
Honestly, I wish there was a magic pill, and to be honest, I'm in some ways relieved, because at first when I was trying to make it, I thought, well, how am I going to make it? You know, because I really don't know anything about music production. All I know how to do is sing and play guitar. And, that didn't go so well for me. So what am I going to do? You know, and once I discovered that nobody else was going to put in the time that I was going to put in, I mean, very few, I mean, because there are people out there, but once it came into my head that all I had to do was just apply myself consistently, and then, you know, all the limitations would dissolve, and I would be able to thrive eventually. You know, right. Here I am talking to you 3 years later after buying your leads. I mean, that's, and there's only one reason, because I just kept going.
Yeah.
Cause there was a moment when I almost quit. And yeah. Had I quit, well, then we wouldn't be having this conversation. Yeah. You know? So yeah, consistency.
Yeah.
And perseverance.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's so cliche, but it's so true. Someone that I bring up on this podcast a lot, and people are probably tired of me dropping this person's name, but it is Gary Vaynerchuk. Have you checked out his stuff, Eddie?
Oh, man, like, he's great.
Yeah, he's great. But the thing is, like, sometimes when I listen to his advice, it's so obvious and so sort of like there's nothing like brilliant about it. He's like, someone asked him, he's like, how do you get the courage and the strength to keep going when you fail? And he's like, well, what's the alternative? Like, what else are you going to do? Like, you either keep going and eventually you figure it out, or you give up and you don't. Like, there's not much middle ground.
Well, you think about, you know, deathbed literature, not to get too metaphysical as I like to, but, you know, no one is thinking about, you know, the time they spent watching Netflix or, you know, Luke Cage or whatever, you know, that's not important. I get that it's fun. I get that it's new. The brain, you know, loves new things, but ultimately what people remember, you know, connection, family, friends, their purpose, what they did, how they spent their time. And to me, my purpose is number one, you know, so I make a lot of sacrifices. You know, and I'm not saying that I don't have fun, but also this is fun, you know, like I'm making an expansion pack. That's insane to me, from a guy that, you know, didn't have anything. And so I want to encourage others, if they just are willing to focus, you know, it comes back to just concentrating, and believing in yourself, you know, like, when I lay down at night, last night I was in bed at 1:30. I was thinking, I believe in myself, you know, like I love myself enough. I care about my life enough to do what I love to do.
Yeah.
And it's a very simple concept. You know, do you love your life enough to do what it is you say you truly want to do? And even if you don't believe in yourself, because trust me, there are times where I didn't believe in myself, and also where I just doubt the path, what I'm doing, am I doing it right? You know, that you have these moments, but at the end of the day, it's not about the doubt. It's about, you know, loving and caring enough to keep going and getting over the obstacle, or getting under the obstacle, or, you know, going through the obstacle, figure out how to move past it.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. I mean, I do feel like the work-life balance, like I feel like that is an important issue, and I can totally relate to why people have that urge to watch Netflix or hang out with their friends. I mean, I think to a certain extent, those things are important. Like, if all we're doing is working nonstop, like, you can easily get burnt out on that, like we were talking about before we started recording, Eddie. But with that said, I feel like the satisfaction, like, I'm working on a blog post today that I'm going to publish probably next week, but it's a blog post about how, when I first started my internet business like 10 years ago, the first couple years, like as soon as I didn't have a boss and I had a little bit of money, I started traveling, and I went to Latin America, and I went to Costa Rica and Panama and Mexico, and I spent a lot of time and money traveling. I sort of got addicted to that kind of lifestyle. And eventually I had to stop doing that because I realized, like, there's just no way I'm going to achieve a lot of my goals if I'm not established in one place, right? I can't backpack around the world forever. But like kind of the point of the blog post is that on a day-to-day basis, maybe it's not quite as exhilarating the way I'm living now, but there's this kind of long-term satisfaction that comes with accomplishing goals that I think in the end is more satisfying, but it just takes longer to get there. Can you relate to that at all?
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to go off on a tangent, but there's a great book, audio book called The Subtle Art of Not Giving an F.
Mark Manson. I've heard of that.
Yeah, and this gentleman traveled the world just like yourself, and you know he would enjoy womanizing, and he liked kind of discovering all the flavors of the pool, if you will. Mm-hmm. And at some point, he realized that he was actually limiting himself because of all the choices. Yeah. And we can also parlay this and look at DAWs and plugins and kind of look at the same thing. But the idea is he finally found someone that he wanted to commit to, and he found freedom and liberation within the context of monogamy and making a choice.
Yeah.
And going back to, choosing your career, you know, like this is what I want to do. Instead of just traveling the world and just kind of being spastic, and there is a time and a place for that as well. I'm also growing as a man, and I'm no longer interested in the things that I was interested in as a boy. So also, if you're young and you still have that in you, you should get it out and you should explore. And maybe this isn't the time for licensing, or you could just dabble in it, right? Get a couple placements and then. But this is really a full-time thing. I just want to be clear about it, because I don't want anybody thinking that they're going to make a $40,000-$50,000 licensing sync fee on a song, in a few months. I mean, and that could happen. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not,
if but, you're really but let, lucky.
Yeah. But let's be clear that it's really a numbers game, and you have to network and meet a lot of people, and your music quality has to be high.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think like in your case, I know you've told me the story before that kind of similar to my story, you started out with aspirations of wanting to be a rock star and you had different goals related to music in the music business. And in the end, like you said, you've chosen something that maybe isn't as glamorous, but you're actually doing it, as opposed to a lot of musicians that aspire to be something their whole lives and they never actually just settle on something and do it. So I think in that sense, what you've done is really remarkable because you've chosen a path and you're doing it. So I think that's amazing.
Thank you, man. Yeah, I love music. I'm so stoked. And I get to learn and earn money as I go. In a lot of ways, I'm still learning so much, and I have the privilege, and I understand that it's a privilege, and I take the responsibility very seriously. To learn, and yes. if you love music production, if you love audio and editing, there are possibilities out there. I just bought Melodyne, so I could learn how to tune vocals, because I know, I already tune vocals with, my Logic software, but this software truly is powerful, because I know a lot of people that have work simply because they're very good at Melodyne. And so I'm always trying to think of what's coming next and how can I advance my career, because if you want more in your life, more capital, better things, more opportunities, you have to be more, and you have to, you have to kind of force yourself to stretch and learn more. Every day I'm reading books on Logic Pro because I want to be, an international teacher. And there are a lot of books out there on Logic, by the way, which is one of the reasons why I stick to it.
Yeah.
This idea of like continuously growing and advancing, like if you don't know very much right now, the first thing you need to learn is how to EQ something. I would spend all my waking days at this point just EQing. And once you kind of wrap your head around it, right, you don't have to be a master, then you could move into compression. Okay, here's another skill, another tool, another, form of ammunition that I could develop. And then you just go down the line and you start putting two and two together. Okay, well, now I know how to use a compressor. I know how to sidechain. So how about I learn how to bit crush, and what is a bit crusher, and do some research. And you just have to build a massive, database of information and tools and tricks and tactics and workarounds,
Yeah, no, absolutely. And yeah, like I said, Eddie and I are in the process of putting together a really comprehensive course about how to write music for television, how to compose cues, instrumental cues, and music specifically for television. I'm excited about the course, Eddie. This is the first course I've done in quite a while. I want to say like a year or so. So it's I haven't put one of these out in a while, and this is to be honest, I'm not quite sure why we didn't think of doing this sooner. I mean, this is such an like it fills such an obvious gap in my catalog of courses, but nonetheless, I'm excited. So if you guys are interested in that, check out howtolicenseyourmusic.com. I'll post everything there when it's ready. I'll also probably mention it on the on a future episode of this podcast. But Eddie, I think this is a good point to stop. Do you have any sort of last words of wisdom or advice for people out there listening to this?
Yeah, you know, I'm really pumped up. I'm really excited. I'm so grateful that I get to be this guy for a lot of people because I wish when I first started that I had somebody that I could look up to and follow. And I try and be as generous as possible with everybody that emails me. You know, I also now have a lot of students that I'm coaching so I could help them take their careers to the next level. I also have students that I teach logic to. And this is one of the reasons I wanted to create the course with you is because, you know, the demand started growing and I thought if I'm able to package this, I could show people how to do this in a faster way because that's really what it's all about is how can I touch as many people. I didn't know that I was going to have a passion for this until I discovered that, you know, there's a guy out there or a girl that is, you know, sitting in their kitchen counter, just like I was when I was about to quit. And I'm thinking about, you know, can I help them live their dreams? And can I help them move forward in some way? You know, and there's plenty of opportunities. There's no reason whatsoever why they can't get a working job somewhere. You know, and it may not be exactly what they want. Because I'm not gonna, you know, profess, you know, false dreams. But if you want something, it's out there. So I'm just so excited. The course is coming along very well. And again, thank you so much. I'm truly grateful to be, you know, just to have you as a mentor, as a friend. So thank you.
Yeah, likewise. I'm super stoked for the course. I think it's going to be awesome. Let's close the podcast. Do you have something recent that you're working on that we can play at the end of the podcast? Do you have a new composition or something that we can share with everybody?
If you go on my SoundCloud, I have the Best of Born This Way season 2 and 3. We can share that. Or there's two songs before that, one called Defining Moment. Yeah, actually, that would be a good one. The one I sent you for the blog post, I think would be fun.
Okay, so defining moment. So we'll close with that.
Yeah.
So Eddie, I'm gonna say goodbye, but don't really hang up because I have a couple questions for you. But
Okay.
Eddie, thanks so much for doing this.
Cheers.